Okay, we're going to start here on the top, Nun Hei Amud Aleph, in the second line down. Rav Yehuda Amar Yotim Kamei De Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel. We know that Rav Yehuda was both a Talmud of Rav, and then later on a Talmud of Shmuel. Atai Hayi Itata. This woman came by, Katzavka Kamei. She was screaming, whether she was asking for justice, or tzedakah, whatever it was. Falava Mashkochba. He didn't pay attention to her. Amar Lei Lo Savrlei Ma'ar. Rav Yehuda says to his Rebbe, Otem Osnomi Zakat Dal. One who closes his ears to the cries of the impoverished, those that are poor, gam hu yikra v'lo ye'aneh, he will also then call out and not be answered. So Amalei, Shinina. Shinina is a nickname for Rav Yehuda. One of two reasons, Shinina either means sharp, because he was a Talmud Chacham, very sharp, or Shinina, another place, talks about teeth, that he had long teeth, and there was a description or an adjective describing his appearance. Shinina reshech bikrire. Your Rebbe is in cold water, referring to himself. That's what Shmuel is saying. Reshe de reshach bechamime. Hayoti marukva avbeitin. But the Rebbe of your Rebbe, he's in hot water. Marukva was the avbeitin. And Shmuel felt that it was Marukva's responsibility to take care of the woman. And the fact that Marukva didn't take care of her, or don't deal with it, Shmuel didn't feel obligated to deal with the situation because his Rebbe Marukva was there. Therefore he says to Rabbi Yehuda, your Rebbe, meaning me, Shmuel is okay, it's Marukva who's in trouble with this. Tosfot in Baba Batra brings that there's a Misora, that because of this incident, that Latid Lavo, Rabbi Yehuda will be the Rebbe of Shmuel, that in Olam Haba, because of this incident, that Rabbi Yehuda cared about this woman and her plight, that he was given a higher ranking in the Olam Haba than Shmuel, he became Shmuel's Rebbe, the Olam Haba. Marukva, the Abbeitin, is in big trouble, because it says, Beit David, Ko Amar Hashem, speaking to Beit David, speaking to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, Yirmiyahu says to Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu had sent messengers to Yirmiyahu to ask them if they're going to be okay. Nebuchadrezzar had come and surrounded the city of Yerushalayim. They were going to breach the walls. They were going to conquer Yerushalayim. So he sends messengers to Yirmiyahu asking him if we're going to be okay. Will Hashem save us like he always has saved us? So this is what he says to them. Beit David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dinu LaBoker Mishpat. In the morning, you should adjudicate righteously, Vatzilu Gazul Miyad Oshek, and take that which is stolen away from the oppressors. Pen Tetzeka Eish Chamati, because otherwise, my anger will come forth like fire, Ubaran will consume, Ve'in Mechabeh, and there will be no extinguishing it. Mipnei Roa Malaleichem, it's preemptive. The aktiv is malaleichem, the kri is malaleichem, because of your bad ways. So you see here that there's an obligation on the leaders to adjudicate, to bring justice. Marukva, being the avbeitin, is the one that should have taken care of this situation, and therefore Shmuel felt it was Marukva's responsibility. If Marukva didn't pay heed or didn't pay attention, that there wasn't anything that Shmuel could do. Either because it was Marukva's responsibility, or because Shmuel felt that Marukva would not take tochacha from him. He would not accept his rebuke if he told Marukva to do it. Therefore, Shmuel backed away and said to Rav Yehuda, I'm not in bad shape. It's Marukva who's really going to be in bad shape. Amalei Rabbi Zeira to Rabbi Simon. Lochinhu mar. Rabbi Zeira says to Rabbi Simon, you should give tochacha lahani de bei reish galuta, to the household of the exilarch. Amalei lo kabla minai. They won't accept it from me. Even if they don't accept it, you should still give them tochacha. God never decided to do something good and reversed his opinion for bad, except for this issue. This issue being that they didn't give tochacha. We're going to bring an example from the Yechezkel in 1 second. This la'alocha is extremely important. There's a demand here that one gives tochacha, even though the recipients will not listen to him. Tosafot over here says, "Va'avakav t'lo mekablei luchidku ma'aretz atab tosafot anun heyom adalef." Haynu eicha desafek imekablei. That's only true if there's any doubt about whether they will accept it or not accept it. If you have any questions that they might not, then you must give the tochacha. If they for certain will not accept the tochacha, henach lahem, leave them alone. Mutav shiyu shogegim, v'ayu mezidim. It's better that they do it as a shogeg, meaning in ignorance, rather than being mezidim. And once they know about it, then they'll be considered to be sinners with intent, because they know what's supposed to be done, and they're ignoring it. The chiluk here, or this difference that we say, in certain instances we give tochacha no matter what, in other instances we say, hold back. In general, when it comes to dinei derabanan, in dinei derabanan we say that a person should give tochacha if he has any safek that they will listen. If he doesn't think they're going to listen, there's no obligation to give tochacha. In dinei doraita, it seems that the halacha should be that he has to give tochacha no matter what. Within the doraita realm, the poskim bifurcate and say that if it's a dovar hamifurash b'torah, something that is explicit in the Torah, that it's written in the Torah, then you must give tochacha even if they will not listen. Because it's written in the Torah. It's not something that there's any questions about. There's not any suffix about it. It's something that's black and white in the Torah. If it's something that is either, again, derabanan, or something that's not mefurash b'Torah, it requires a drasha. So the example that Tosfot brings over here is Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. Tosefet Yom HaKippurim is a din d'oraita, learned out of the psukim. But it's a drasha on the psukim because it says, mi erev ad erev. It says from evening to evening, yom tishi, and includes the ninth day. So over there, Chazal or Doresh, that means that you have to be mosif michol ala kodesh. So that's a drasha. There, we say that you do not have to give tochacha if they're not going to listen. But the requirement of giving tochacha, irrespective of whether they're going to listen or not, is only when they din doraita, that's mufurash bakra. Anything else, whether it's doraita through a drasha or a dinei derabanan, then if there's a safek, we demand of you to give tochacha. If there is no safek, you know they're not going to listen, over there you do not have to give tochacha. Now the Gemara continues with Dichtiv, Pasuk in Yechezkel, where he's going to bring the proof that when somebody didn't give tochacha, it ended up that God switched his mind from doing something good to something bad. Vayomer Hashem Elav. Hashem says to him, Avor b'toch ha'ir, b'toch Yerushalayim. You should go through the city, through Yerushalayim, vidvita tav, and you should draw or mark a tav, a letter tav, al mitzchot anashim, on the foreheads of those people, hanenachim, that are sighing, ve'anenachim, that are crying, akol ha'toivot, anosot b'tocha, over all the abominations that are taking place inside the city of Yerushalayim. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gabriel, leich urshom al mitzcham shel tzadikim tav. Go and mark on the foreheads of the tzaddikim atav, shel dio, made out of ink, shelo yishlatu ba'em malachei chabala, so that when the malachim of destruction come, they won't take out their wrath on these individuals. Val mitzcham shel rishayim, on the foreheads of the rishayim, tav shel dam, should write a tav made of blood, kedei sheyishlatu ba'em malachei chabala, so that permission will be granted to the malachei chabala to attack them. Now, what's interesting here is the pasuk itself only has one tav written in it. Only speaks about writing one letter tav. So some of the mefarshim say, as Rav Tosafot says here, lo mikra kamar. They didn't learn this out of the pasuk. Ela misvara. It's just the svara. The pasuk says, put a tav there. That tav is referring to the tzaddikim. They infer from that the rishayim also had some sort of mark that the malachei chabala knew to attack. That's how some read it. Others read it that you can actually learn it out of the two words in the pasuk, which is nenachim and nenakim. Those that sigh and those that are crying. Those that are crying are the tzaddikim.
They are crying over the churban.
Those that are sighing are the rishayim,
who are sighing over the loss of life.
And therefore they learn out that there's a tav on the rishayim and on the tzaddikim. So Amra midata din lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midata din comes from Hashem, Ribono Shalom, ma nishtanu elu meelu. Why are these protected and these not protected? I mean, why are the tzaddikim protected, not the rishayim? Alalu tzaddikim gmurim. These are great tzaddikim. Alalu rishayim gmurim. And these are evil people. Amra lefana ribono shalom ayabi adom limchot velo michu. They had the ability to give tochacha, to chastise those that were doing evil, and they didn't. Amar la, Hashem said to the midat din, galoi biyadu lefanai shimichu bahem lo yikablu mehem. But if they did give tochacha, they wouldn't have accepted it. So Amra, the Midat Din says, if now Ribono Sholalam, im lefanecha galoi, lahem mi galoi. You might have known that, but these tzaddikim didn't know that. If they didn't know that, they're obligated to give tochacha. Because, and that's what Tosfot said before, if you're uncertain as to whether they're going to accept the tochacha or not, you have to give the tochacha. V'hainu dichtiv, and this is what it says in the subsequent psukim, zakein, bachur, ubetula, vitaf, there's a vav missing here, vitaf, vinashim, tahargu, lemashchit. That all of these individuals, the old, the young, the maiden, the child, the women, tahargu lemashchit, you will wipe them out. V'kol ish, asher alav atav, al tigashu. If anybody has the mark of the tav on them, don't touch them. I mean, the tzaddikim. And then it concludes, umigdashi tachedu. Begin from my migdash, from my sanctuary. Uchtiv. And then it says, remainder of the pasuk, Vayachelu banashim hazkenim asher lifnei abayit. Began with the elders that were around the Beit HaMikdash. So Tani Rav Yosef, Al Tikri Mikdashi, don't read it as Mikdashi, that he began from the Mikdash, Ela b'Mikudashai, from those that are sanctified, those that are holy. Who are those that are holy? Elu b'nei Adam, Shekimu et haTorah kulah mi'alef ad taf. These are the people that kept the Torah from Aleph until Taf. That is the siman of the Taf. The Taf says, indicates that these are individuals who kept Kola Torah Kula. Same with the Rishayim. Aleph at Taf means that they kept nothing of the Torah. So the sign of the Taf was that they should have been saved. And yet, it says in the Pasuk, Ome Mikdashi Techelu. Mikdashi, if you don't read it as Mikdashi, but rather as Mikudashai, as being those that are holy, those that are tzaddikim, means that originally Hashem said, because they had the Taf on their foreheads, they were protected. And then Hashem changed his mind and allowed them to be consumed with the rest of the people there. Because, as we saw before, they were not mochiach, those that were around them. And therefore they're held responsible. Umiyad, and we see, just as in here, as the Gemara quotes a pasuk, which is actually before these psukim. This is in pasuk bet, in the same parak. Out of order, making it sound like this is the continuation, which is, v'nei shisha anashim ba'im miderach shar elyon. There were six people who were coming from the upper gate, asher mafnet zafona, that faces to the north. V'ish kli, Mapatso biyado. Each one of them had their, whether it's a sledgehammer or some sort of utensil used for shkita. Vishachad betocham, and there was one man amongst them, lavush badim. The hay is not found in the pasuk. Lavush badim, that was dressed in linen. Keset asofer bematnav. He had either the slate or the inkwell of the sofer around his loins. Vayavo viamdu etzel mizbacha nechoshet. They came, they stood next to the copper mizbeach. It says, Mizbeach Nechoshet Mehavo. Since when? In the time of Yechezkel, is there a Mizbeach Nechoshet? Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Itchilo Imakom Shomrim Shira. That it can't mean literally the Mizbeach Nechoshet, because Shlomo HaMelech put that into Gniza. The Mizbeach Nechoshet was not large enough to use in the Mikdash. Therefore, Shlomo replaced the Mizbeach Nechoshet with a Mizbeach Avanim. He put up a Mizbeach that was much larger than the Mizbeach Nechoshet, and he put the Mizbeach Nechoshet into Gniza. If that's the case, why in the time of Yechezkel is speaking about a Mizbeach Nechoshet? The answer is that it's near the Mizbeach where they used Kalei Nechoshet. Near the Mizbeach where they used the copper instruments. That's referring to the place of the Levim. The Levim that sang and played the instruments in the Mikdash. So that's what this is referring to. So that's where you should begin with those individuals in terms of the killing. Who are these six men that came in? These are Malachi Chabalah. These are the Malachim of destruction. And their names are adjectives that refer to anger and destruction. Ketzef, Af, Vechema are all different forms of anger. Umashchit, Umashaber, Mechaleh are all descriptions of destruction. So these are the six Malachi Chabalah. They were let loose on Yerushalayim, and they begin near the placement of the Levi'im by the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. So either the reason that we know that the Tzaddikim were killed here anyway is either because they started by the people by the Mizbeach, who were clearly the Tzaddikim, or because of the drush of Rav Yosef, which is that it wasn't Mikdashi, but rather Mikudashai. Umayshna Tav. Why was Tav used as the sign for those individuals? So Amrav Tav, Tichyeh Tav Tamut. There's a Tav for those that are going to live, and a Tav for those that are going to die. Shmuel Amar, Tama Zchut Avot. This was the end of the merit of the forefathers. The merit of the forefathers would no longer stand for them or help them out. Riochanan Amar, Tachon Zchut Avot. That there will be chain, kindness from Hashem because of the Zchut Avot. So what is interesting here is, are Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan arguing? That turns out to be a machloket in the Balei HaTosfot. There's someone to say that when Shmuel says Tamaz Zchut Avot, that's only for the Rishayim. The Rishayim Zchut Avot ended. But for the Tzaddikim, Zchut Avot still was around. And that's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel believes that Zchut Avot ended. And then Rabbi Yochanan said, no, for the Tzaddikim, Zchut Avot continued. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it is that Shmuel Amar's Tamas Zchut Avot means both for the Rishayim and the Tzaddikim. Zchut Avot was over. How did the Tzaddikim survive? They survived on their own merit. They didn't need Zchut Avot, but the Rishayim that needed Zchut Avot, they were not able to survive. And then Rabbi Yochanan would be arguing and say, no, Chanon Zchut Avot. Zchut Avot was not terminated, did not end. So that happens to be in Tosafot, Machloket between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Rabbeinu Tam says, Tam zchut avot. Zchut avot is ended. It's terminated. Aval brit avot lo tama. But the covenant with the avot never ends. And he says, I'll bring you a proof, because in the Tokocha, in Parshat Bechukotai, says, Zacharti b'ti Yaakov, v'afi b'ti Yitzchafar b'ti Avraham, and that's at the end of the Galut. That's after the Galut. So it's even post this time, and you see that it still says, Zacharti b'rit, that I remember the covenant. So therefore, we don't, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, that we don't mention Zchut Avot. Whenever we invoke the forefathers, we're invoking them for brit avot, for the covenant with our forefathers, not with the zchut, the merit of the avot. On the other hand, the Ri says that they're not arguing. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing. Shmuel's talking about the Rishaim, and Rabbi Yochanan's talking about the tzaddikim, and zchut avot still stands for us. And he says like this, the apishat churban, the bar derachi, tachon zchut avot. And the Ri says, based on this, that's what we rely on, to mention zchut avot. Uvshuli vayikra Rabbi Yachai Omer, the olam zchut avot kayemet. That zchut avot never runs out. And therefore, according to the Ri, we do subscribe to zchut avot, and that it still exists. So it's an important machloket between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, that when we speak about our forefathers and we invoke the names of our forefathers, are we asking it b'zchut avot, with the merit of our forefathers, or are we asking it b'brit avot, for the covenant with our forefathers, for Hashem to act, to help us, and to have rachamim, mercy upon us? I mean, obviously, brit avot is more fundamental. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam says, even though zchut avot was terminated, brit avot still exists. But zchut avot is very important. We many times can't stand on our own. We invoke our forefathers to try to have Hashem have mercy upon us. Tav sof chotmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tav is the final letter of the signature of God. Tam Rabbi Yechanina, Rabbi Yechanina says, chotmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. The signature of Hashem is truth. And so the last letter of his signature is Tav, and that's why they use the Tav. We'll see that later on in the Masechta as well. Emet is made up of the three letters, Aleph being the first letter of the alphabet, Tav being the last, and Mem being the middle letter. What's implied by that, Hashem is Rishon v'Acharon. He's in the beginning to end, and he's still Mashkiach in the middle. So Hashem is always there, will always be there, and he's Mashkiach ala olam kulo. And that's why Hashem is Emet. Sheker is the opposite. Sheker has three letters in a row. Kuf, Resh, Shin. In the Aleph Bet, they're all together. And the Gemara points out in other places that the Aleph, Mem, and the Tov are all stable letters. They stand on the 2 feet. Resh Sheker, all the letters there are pointy, and they only stand on 1 foot. So they're unstable. That's the idea of this Emet being the Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmo Bar Nachmani Amar, Elu Bnei Adam Shekeimu Et HaTorah Kulam Aleph HaTav. These are the people that kept the Torah from A to Z, Aleph through Tav, and that's why they use the Siman of the Tav. So now the Gemara goes back and queries, Meimatai Tama Zchut Avot. According to Shmuel, who says that Zchut Avot ended, when did Zchut Avot end? When did it stop? Samarav Mimeot Hoshea Ben Beiri. So in the time of the Navi Hoshea, Shinamar says in Perek Bet in Hoshea, when he's talking about the Mashal HaZonah, it says, Ve'ata. Now, agale et navluta, I will expose their abomination, leinei ma'aveha, to the eyes of all those that have loved her. V'ish lo yitzilena miyadi. And there will be no one there, no man will save them from my hand. So Hashem says this is going to be nobody who could save Bnei Israel, implying that the zchut avot is no longer there. The avot can't intercede or can't protect Bnei Israel at this point in time. Shmuel amar mimei chazael. So in the time of Hazael, Hazael is the king of Aram. Shneimar, it says, V'Hazael melech Aram lachatz et Bnei Yisrael kol yimei Yoachaz. He put pressure on Bnei Yisrael throughout the time period of Yoachaz. Uchtiv, it says, later on, Hazael passes away, and his son Ben-Hadad takes over for him, and Yoachaz's son Yoash takes over, and at that point, they're able to free themselves from the burden of Aram. It says, V'yachan Hashem otam, Vayirachameim. Hashem had mercy on them. Vayifen aleihem. Leman brito. He turns to them because of the brit, the covenant, at Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Velo avah hashchitam. And he didn't want to destroy them. Velo hashlicham mi'al panav. Adata. Not to throw him away from his face until that point in time. So there are two ways to learn this pasuk. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, the deal got of the pasuk is because it says leman brito. The reason that Hashem saved them was because of the covenant with the avot. Not because of zchut avot, but rather because of the covenant. And that's the diok out of the pasuk, and that's how you know zchut avot ended. Rashi, on the other hand, says that it's zchut avot because it says va'adata, until now. I mean that zchut avot was until that time. It protected them. From that point forward, it would not protect them anymore. Bishua ben Levi Amar, Mime Eliyahu. It's already from the time of Eliyahu, Zechut Avot was over, Shneamar. Vehi Balota Mincha, this is on Har HaKarmel, when Eliyahu has the showdown with the Nevi'ei HaBaal. It says, at the time of Mincha, Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi comes forward, Vayomer Hashem, Elokei Abraham, Yitzhak V'Yisrael, Hayom Yivada. Today, make it apparent, Ki Ata Elokim B'Yisrael, that you're the God of Israel, Vani Avdecha, I'm your servant, Ubedvarcha, Asiti Et Kol HaDvarim Eila, and only from your word, or from your instruction, I did everything that is here. But what do you see? That you see that Eliyahu invokes over there, Avram Yitzhak V'Yisrael, Hayom, today. Today the Zechut Avot will help, but after today, it will not help. What does he do with the psukim like by Chazael? So that's what Rashi says, that Yidei Rachamim uskar lahem bimei Chazael. In the time of Chazael, through Rachamim, through mercy, Hashem was willing to take care of them, and he mentioned the Avot to gain that mercy, but not that the Zechut Avot, the merit of the Avot, helped at that point in time, because that's after the time of Eliyahu, according to Reb Shua ben Levi. Yochanan Amar, mimei Chizkiyahu. In the time of the Chizkiyahu, that's when Zechut Avot was Tama, Shneamar, because it says, Limarbe Hamisra, Ushalom and Kates, Akisei David, Vama Machto, Lachinota, Ulusada, Bimishvad Btsaka, Miatabed Olam, Kinata Shem Tzfakot, Tasezot. So here it's referring to Chizkiyahu Melech. Yeshayahu has a Nevuah that a son will be born, that will be a savior. That savior is Chizkiyahu Melech. And it says, Limarbe Hamisra, that he will expand the realm, Ulushalom and Kates, and there'll be no limit to the Shalom. Al Kisei David v'amalachto, on the throne of David and his kingdom, la'achinota, to put it in place, to prepare it, ulusa'ada, to have a foundation, to establish it, b'mishpat, ubitztaka, with righteousness and generosity, yata, v'yadolam, from now and forever, kinat Hashem tzvakot, tasezot, the jealousy of Hashem will do this. So over here you see, it says, Miata v'adolam kinat Hashem. From this point forward, it's only kinat Hashem. When Hashem is jealous or protecting his name or being mekadesh shem shemayim, that's what will protect Bnei Yisrael. But no longer, zchut avot. This is one of the proofs of the Ri, that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there was zchut avot, because Rabbi Yochanan over here says, Mimei Chizkiyahu. He also says that Zechut Avot was around until the time of Chizkiyahu. And only at that point does it stop. Rabbi Yochanan before said, Chanun, Zechut Avot, that even at the time of Yechezkel, at the time of the Korban, that the Zechut Avot was still there. Yet Rabbi Yochanan over here has the opinion that the Zechut Avot ended at the time of Chizkiyahu. So how do you reconcile those? You say that Tamas Zechut Avot is for the Rishayim. Chanun, Zechut Avot, that is for the Tzadikim. That's one of the Ri's proofs that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are really not arguing. And when we say Tamas Zechut Avot, that's only for the Rishayim, not for the Tzadikim. Okay, Amar Ravami. Ravami posits a thesis, which is Emita Belo Chet. One cannot die without sin. Ven Yisurim Belo Avon. And there is no afflictions or difficulties without iniquity. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, the word Chet refers to Shkaga. Emita Belo Chet. Chet Elu Ashkagot. That's even Bishkaga. Avonot Elu as donot. And avon refers to this donot. By mitah, the gzera comes, even if it's a shkaga, even if it's a mistake, even if it's from ignorance. With regards to yisurim, that means only when you do something intentionally wrong, be'avon is there yisurim. Ein mitah b'lo chet, how do I know that? Dichtig, because the pasuk says in Yechezkel, anefesh achotet, hi tamut. The one who sins, the soul that sins, will die. Ben lo yisa b'avon ha'av. Child will not carry the iniquities of the father. And the father will not carry the iniquities of the child. Tzidkat ha-tzadik alav tiyeh. The righteousness of the tzadik will be his. Ushet ha-rasha alav tiyeh. And the evilness of the one who is evil, that will belong to him as well. Each person will be judged on their own merits. But you see here that you do carry the avon. If you sin, then you die. Implying from that, if you don't sin, then you don't die. Ein yisurim b'lo avon. How do I know that there is no affliction without an avon? Because it says in Tehillim, ufakadati b'shevet pish'am, that I will bring retribution with the staff, with the rod, pish'am, for their pish'aim, for their violations, umnigaim avonam. And they will, whether here it means nigaim, like leprosy, or nigaim means bad, will come up to them, avonam, on their sins. Meitave, is that really true, what Ravami said? Amru malachei asheret lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, ipnei ma kanasta mita al adam rishon. Why did you punish Adam HaRishon with death? Amar lehem, mitzvah kalat tzivitiv. I gave him one simple command, and he violated it. Amru lo, achayash reitzei du Hashem, halo Moshe v'Aron, shekimu kol ha-Torah kulah umeitu. They kept the entire Torah, and nevertheless, they still died. Amar lehem, Hashem responded to the Malachim, mikre echad la-tzadik l-resha, la-tov v'la-tahor. The same end is for everyone. Everyone ends the same way, and that's with through death. But what do you see here? You see from this Midrash, that even though you don't sin, you still die. Moshe and Aaron, who are clean of any sin, they nevertheless died. And Hashem says that because Mikre Echad, everybody's lives end the same way. Tehuda Marki Haitana. Rabbi Ami is subscribing to the position of this Tana, the Tanya. Shimon Elazar Omer, Ach Moshe Aaron Bechat Am Meitu. That Moshe and Aaron also died because of their sin. Shine Amar, the Pasuk says, Yan Lo Imantim Bi Lakti Sheni. Because you did not trust me in order to sanctify my name, therefore you are not going to Eretz Yisrael, therefore you're going to die. Ha, he mantim bi, had you trusted me, had you placed your trust in me, adayin lo yigez manchem li pater min olam, you would not have died. Shimon Elazar believes they did die because of that sin. So meitave, is that really true? Does Shimon Elazar really believe that you can only die through sin? Arba'a meitu betyo shel nechash. Four people died with the etzah of the nechash. With the advice of the Nachash, was the Chava to partake of the Eitz Hadaat Tovira. And because of that, Niknasa Mita, therefore everybody dies in the world because of that. So the Gemara here says there are four people who died not because they sinned, but because everybody has to die. Because that's the punishment after the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Beluhin, who are they? Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Bishai Avi David, V'Kil'av ben David. Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, one of the 12 Shvatim. Amram, who is the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ishai, who is the father of David. Now, V'Kil'av ben David, who is the second child of David. Kil'av is an interesting character. In the Navi, he's a non-entity. He's born to David. David's oldest son is Amnon, who is the crown prince, but he is later killed by Avshalom. Then we also, after that, have the rebellion of Avshalom, who tries to take over the kingdom of David. And towards the end of the life of David, Adoniyahu also tries to take over the kingdom. It's finally given to Shlomo, who is much younger. He's not even technically in line. He's much further down the line. Those are the children of David in basically an order of their age, except for one, which is this Kilav. Kilav is the second child of David, but he never rebels, never appears. And again, he's like a non-entity. He doesn't exist in the Navi. The Gemara is to face on that, and here you see one of them, that Kilav ben David, he died without sin. What do we know about him? The only thing we know about him is he didn't do what all of his other brothers did, which is try to usurp the power, try to take over the kingdom from David. They did not act inappropriately. The Gemara in Brachot also mentioned Kilav, that David HaMelech used to be embarrassed because of Achitofel, and because Achitofel was so smart and such a Talmud Chacham, and eventually Kilav came around and took care of him, and he was able to one-up Achitofel, and so David had his revenge, in a sense, on Achitofel through Kilav. Again, the Gemara elevates this Kilav to an outstanding character at Tzaddik, something that's not found in the Navi at all, but it seems to be because of the way the layout of the Navi is, that every one of the brothers that was problematic is mentioned in the Navi, which is Amnon, Avshalom, Adoniyahu. The only one that's not mentioned anything about is Kilav, so the assumption being that he was someone righteous, he was someone good. Now, Vakulu, Gemara, all of them are a Mesora from Sinai, the Varmi Yishai Avi David. So every Yishai, the father of David, Mefereish Beikra, that we can learn out of the Psukim. Tichtiv, because it says, by the merit of Shalom, when Avshalom rebels against his father David, he has to now have a general of the army. The general of the army of David is Yoab ben Tzruya, and Yoab ben Tzruya stays loyal to David in merit of Shalom. So he replaces him with Amasa. With Amasa, son of Shalom, Tachad Yoav, Al Hatzava. So Masa Avshalom places Amasa as the general of the army to replace the Yoav. Vamasa ben Ish, he's the son of a man, Ushmo Yitra HaIsraeli. Name was Yitra Yisraeli, Asher Ba El Avigail Bat Nachash, who was married to Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, Achot Tzruya, the sister of Tzruya, Aim Yoav, the mother of Yoav. Mara says, V'chi bat Nachash Havai? Was Avigail really the daughter of Nachash? Halo bat Ishai Havai? Wasn't she the daughter of Ishai? Tekhtiv, in Divrei Yamim, when it's going through the lineage of Shevet Yehuda, over there it notes that Ishai has seven children, seven boys, V'achiyotehem, and they have two daughters. There are 7 boys, the youngest of which is David HaMelech. And then in addition to that, they also had 2 sisters. Their sisters' names are Tsruya v'Avigail. Tsruya and Avigail are the sisters of David. Yoav ben Tsruya is the nephew of David. His nephew is the one that is the Sar Tzava, the general of the army. Avshalom, when he goes to put in place a general, he picks Amasa ben Avigail. Amasa, the son of Avigail, who's also a nephew of David, a first cousin of Avshalom. So he picked for his Sar Tzava, for his general, another nephew of David, which his name was Amasa. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute, Avigail is a daughter of Ishai. So why in the Pasuk does it say that she's Avigail bat Nachash? Avigail, the daughter of Nachash. It should be the Avigail, the daughter of Ishai. So the answer of the Gemara is, Ela bat mishemet bet Yoshel Nachash. That Ishai was called Nachash because he only died because of the necessity for mankind or humans to die. But he hadn't sinned. He doesn't. He doesn't exist. Nachash is just a nickname for Ishai. It's a replacement for the name of Ishai. Ishai didn't sin, and that's why he's nicknamed the Nachash, because he died because of the Et Yoshel Nachash, Et Toshel Nachash. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died. What's interesting, in Divrei Yamim, it says there that Avigail bat Ishai marries an individual called Itra HaYishmaeli. That Itra HaYishmaeli, and then born to them is Amasa. On the other hand, in the Navi, in Shmuel Bet, when it talks about Amasa, it says that Avigail bat Nachash married a man named Itra HaYisraeli. So it's an interesting difference that one of them indicates that Itra was an Ishmaeli, and the other one indicates that Itra was a Israeli. Aside from the fact that one place it's Avigail bat Nachash, and the other place it's Avigail bat Ishai. Mar says, Mani, who's the author of this brayta that we just brought, that these 4 individuals died without any sin? Ilei matana de malachei asheret, if it's the Tana of the brayta we brought before, that the Malachi Asheret were asking about Moshe and Aaron, Vaika Moshe and Aaron. There weren't just 4 people who died without sin. There's 6 people who died without sin. Moshe and Aaron are part of that list. Why aren't they included in this list? Elav, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, must be the author of this brayta, is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So even though Rabbi Shimon Elazar believes that Moshe and Aaron died because of their sins, nevertheless, he believes that there were 4 people who didn't die because of their sins. Ushmamina, yesh mita belochet, and from that you can conclude, there is death without sin. And there is affliction without iniquity. Now it's interesting here, because the Gemara didn't prove anything about Yisurim. It only proved about death. The Gemara just assumes that if it's true by death, it's also true by the Yisurim. And to Yufta, the Rabbi Ami, to Yufta, it's a very strong question on Rav Ami. This undermines the thesis of Rav Ami, who says that there's only death through sin, and that there's only Yisurim through iniquity. Amar Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Reb Yonatan. Kol haomer Ruvain chata, eno elo toeh. Whoever says that Ruvain sinned is mistaken. Shenemar says in the Pasuk, Vayu bnei Yaakov shnei masar. That the children of Yaakov were 12. Milameid, shukulam shkulim keachat. That they were all on an even plane, they were all equal. So, elamani mekayim. What do I do with the Pasuk? It says, Vayishkavet bilah pilegesh aviv. About Ruvain, it says that he slept with Bilhah, the concubine of his father, Yaakov. The Pasuk has a Pascha v'emtza Pasuk, which means that it has a Parsha, Parshiyat to sign a pay in the middle of the Pasuk. Pasuk begins, Vayishkavet bilah pilegesh aviv. Then you have a Parsha in the middle of the Pasuk, and the Pasuk continues with Vayu bnei Yaakov shnei masar. So the Gemara dashes from that the Torah is indicating to us that Reuven didn't really sin, because he's equated to the other 11 brothers. And this is after the bright, immediately after the pasuk of Vayishkav et bilah pilegesh aviv. So what am I going to do with that? I have to deal with that. Something happened there. Melameid shebilbel metzao shel aviv. That he changed the beds of his father. Malei alav haketuv kiilu shechav ima. And the pasuk ascribes to him responsibility as if he slept with her. Tanya, what happened here? Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Mutzal oto tzadik meoto von, v'lo ba maase dizeli ado. Now this met tzadik is saved from that sin, and he never did it. Efshar atid zarol amod al harival. How could it be that in the future his descendants would stand on harival? That's the ceremony that they're going to do when they enter Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be on Har Gizim and harival. 6 of the Shvatim will be on Har Gizim, 6 of them on harival, and they will do the bracha and the klala. Those that stood on Har Ebal, one of them was Reuven, Shevet Reuven. And one of the Aruors, one of the curses that they say there is Zamar Aruor Shochevim Eshet Aviv. Cursed be the one who sleeps with his father's wife. How could it be possible that he sinned, Reuven, and then his Shevet is going to stand on Har Ebal and say Aruor about the incident that their forefather perpetrated? So it can't be that that's the literal meaning of the Pasuk. Then what do I do with that Pasuk? Abon imo tava. He went to rectify the grudge of his mother. Amar ima chotimi haitat sarali imi. My mother's sister was difficult for her because they were co-wives to Yaakov, and Rachel was loved by Yaakov, so that was difficult for Leah. Shivchat achotimi bila was the shivcha of Rachel should take precedence over my mother. Teitzarali imi. How could she be a co-wife or on equal plane with my mother? Amad ubiobelet mitzah. He moved Yaakov's bed into the tent of Leah, out of the tent of Bilhah. Acharim amrim shtei matzot Bilbel, that he actually caused problems in two beds, achad shel shchina v'achad shel aviv. One of God and one of Yaakov. Because Yaakov used to have an extra bed in each of the tents of Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Whichever tent he saw the shchina present on that bed, he would move his bed in there. So when Reuven went ahead and mixed up the beds, he did two things. He mixed up the bed of Yaakov, but he also mixed up the bed of the Shechinah, and therefore he is held responsible for this because he tried to rectify that which was being done to his mother, and he took action on his own, but he was wrong about that. Therefore the Torah ascribes to him that responsibility if he slept with Vishkav im Bila Pileg Shaviv. Umar says, and that's what it says. When Yaakov goes to give the bracha to the brachot to his children, he begins with Reuven. He doesn't really give him a bracha. He says, "Az chilalta yitzui ala, you profaned my bed, the bed where I slept." Limud out of here, according to Rashi, is yitzui ala. It should have said, instead of saying ala, it should have said alita. Yitzui alita, you went up on my bed, referring to Yaakov's bed. So why is it yitzui ala? Ala is because it was not only his bed, but also the bed of the Shechina. That's why they say that it was talking about that he mixed up two beds. Or the other version here, which the Gears has taken out, which is Al Tikra Yitzui El Yitzui. Not in the singular, but in the plural. Ketanai. This is a machloka tanaim as to whether Reuven was sinned or didn't sin. Pachas Kamayim Al Totar. You were impulsive. You could not hold on. So now the Gemara darshins on the word Pachas. The Pachas is an acronym for the following. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Pazta. You were impulsive. Chavta. Hitchayavta, you were then obligated. Zilta, and you were mizalzel, your father's bed, your father's wife. So here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he did sin. Hitchayavta, you became obligated, responsible for that which took place by your father. Yibshu Omer, psata ladat, you walked over the religion, over the laws. Chatato, you sinned. Zanita, and you performed znut by sleeping with Pileg HaShaviv. Filomer, filalta, you davened. Chilita, you sickened yourself over this in order to prevent yourself from sinning. Zarchal tefilatecha, and your tefila was successful. Amar Gamliel, dain tzuchim anel modei. We still need the interpretation of the Gadot according to the modei, which is Rabbi Lazar modei. Omer, afoch et teiva v'dorsha. Flip the word around. Pachaz, read it backwards. Ziazato, you trembled. Hitra'ato, you recoiled backwards. Parchachet mimcha, and therefore you were spared from the sin. Rova amar, Rova said, Ramila Rabbi Yirmiya ba'ava, Zacharta on shosho davar. That's what the Zion is, going backwards. The Zion is, you remember the punishment for such a thing. Chilita atzmecha, you made yourself choli gadol, very sick, in preventing yourself from sinning. Pirsha milachto, and you separated yourself out for sinning. So according to this, the first two, Tanayim, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Yoshua believed that Reuven did sin. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar Modei believed that he did not sin, and Rabbi supports that opinion that he did not sin. Just as some thoughts on this matter, which the Gemara is about to do now with a number of items, it says here that Reuven, whoever says that Reuven sinned, eino ela toeh, he's mistaken. It's a very difficult statement of the Gemara, because the pasuk is pretty explicit that he slept with Bilhah, and the Gemara comes up with a stretched explanation of the situation. The Abarbanel, in commenting on these items, says, Vani min hatoim. I am from those that are mistaken. Referring to the Gemara's statement that anybody who says he sinned is a toeh, he says, I'm min hatoim. I believe that he did sin, and therefore I'm amongst the mistaken. Because that's the pshat pasuk. Now, what it does involve, and which is very important here, if he did sleep with Bilhah, Pileg HaShaviv, what exactly was the violation? It depends on what you think a pilegish is. Rashi, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says the only difference between a pelegesh and a wife is that isha biktuba, a wife comes with a ktuba, pelegesh below ktuba, is without a ktuba. But otherwise it sounds like she's a full-fledged wife to the individual. The Ramban, Parshat Chayisara, when Rashi makes the comment on the keturah of Pilegesh Avraham, the Ramban there argues on Rashi and says that's not the case. The Rambam in the Yerach HaZakah in the Mishnah Torah says that she's a full-fledged wife and you would be punished as an Eshet Ish. The Ravid argues on the Rambam, and the Ravid says that a Pilegesh does not have a din of Eshet Ish. The Ravid's explanation is compelling in this situation and in other situations that we have throughout Tanakh, that Pilegesh is not Eshet Ish, because then you can explain these situations. If she's not an Eshet Ish, you can explain that Reuven slept with her, and he didn't sleep with his father's wife. He slept with her concubine. The concubine is not something that is considered to be a wife, and therefore he's not in violation of Arayot, to start with. Number two is, in general, when it came to concubines, when it comes to these Pilag Sholt, after whoever's Pilegish they are passes away, they usually pass down to whoever takes over the mantle or the position of that individual. So Reuven would have assumed that he would be the inheritor of his father's position as being the eldest son, and therefore in sleeping with Pilegish Aviv would not have been so far-fetched. Again, it's in the lifetime of his father. That's the problem. That's what causes the issue. But nevertheless, at least it's not within the realm of what we would call Eshet Ish Arayot, which is a very serious offense, and something that's clearly bothering the Gemara over here. You can't explain it even according to the Pshat, as that he did sleep with Pilegesh Aviv, but in such a way that it doesn't undermine Reuven's standing completely, and that it is explainable why he did this, or what he was thinking when he did do this. Right, he says, that you as Yitzui Allah, that you came up on my bed. That Yaakov there never says that you slept with my wife. He says that you did something wrong. You took my Pilegesh while I was still alive. That's not acceptable. You tried to jump the gun, which is that you tried to inherit my position before I was dead. And that was the problem. Yes, he slept with the Pilegesh Aviv, but the implications of sleeping with Pilegesh Aviv were the problem, which is that Reuven was trying to take over his father's position in the lifetime of his father. And that will help explain other places in Tanakh as well, where Pilegesh is a significant factor. All right, now the Gemara continues, and here you see the list of these items. Reuven, Bnei Eli, Bnei Shmuel, David Shlomo, Yoash. All of these are going to be, the Gemara is going to say the same statement, which is, anybody who says that they sinned, Eno Elo Toet, is making a mistake. We'll get to two of them today and the remainder tomorrow. First one is, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yonatan, Kol Amer Bnei Eli Chatu, Eno Elo Toet. Anybody who says Bnei Eli sinned is mistaken. Now over here, the Mifarshim split or bifurcated. They say there are two sins that are mentioned in the Navi, in the beginning of Shmuel, of Kofkni and Pinchas Bnei Eli. One was that they were sleeping with the women, married women, znut. The other one was that they were eating or partaking from the Kodashim or stealing the Kodashim from the people. Both Rashi and Tosfot mention over here, when Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani makes a statement over here, he's only talking about the issue of znut. Regards to znut, they didn't sin. The issue is with the Kodashim, you can't say that, is because the Navi comes to Eli later and tells him the sin of the Bnei Eli and says they're going to die because of the sin. So there you can't say they didn't sin. There you have to say they sinned. But what we're speaking about here is this znut aspect of it. Shinemar, because it says, V'sham shnei bnei Eli, the bnei Eli were there, kofni pinchas, konim lashem. So they suffer like Rav, he holds like Rav, damar Rav, Rav says, pinchas lo chata. Pinchas was not the sinner here. When the Torah talks about who sinned, it's talking about kofni. Make ish kofni the pinchas. And then it makes a hekesh between kofni and pinchas. Man Pinchas lo chata, af Chofni lo chata. Just like Pinchas did not sin, so too Chofni did not sin. Elamani mikayim. What are you going to do with the pasuk? It says Asheish kivun et anashim, that they're sleeping with the women. What are you going to do with that? Mitoch shishau et kinihem shlo alchu etzel baleihem maleak alem akatuv gilu shachvum. It's because Chofni and Pinchas were responsible for bringing the korbanot of the women who had given birth, and the women wouldn't go home until they knew their korbanot were on the mizbech, that they were tohurim to go back to their husbands. So Chofni and Pinchas were a little lazy, and they didn't necessarily get it on that day. They used to maybe wait till the next day. And in waiting till the next day, they forced the women to stay overnight in Shiloh, waiting for the Korban to be brought. In doing so, they prevented the women from returning to their husbands. So because of that, the pasuk describes as if they slept with the women. They didn't literally sleep with them. They just prevented them from returning home to their husbands. Gufa. Amar Rav Pinchas lo chata. We just quoted before that Rav says Pinchas did not sin. Shene Amar, because the pasuk says later on, Va'achiyah, ben Achituv. Chia ben Achituv, who is Achi Ikavod, the brother of Ikavod, ben Pinchas, who's the son of Pinchas, is born on the day that Pinchas, Chofni, and Eli die. But he is ascribed to, who is he? It's Ikavod, ben Pinchas, ben Eli HaKohen. Kohen Hashem. He was the Kohen Hashem that was taking the ephod at that time. Efshar Chet Baliadov, Akatuv Miyachaso. If you think that Pinchas sinned, why would the Pasuk say something about Achia ben Achituv and say, listen, you know who his forefather was? Pinchas. Why would you mention it? Pinchas is not a good person. Why would you make his lineage reflect back on somebody who was not good? Hello, Kvar Ne'amar. Doesn't the Navi already say in Malachi in Perek Bet? Yachret Hashem La'ish. Hashem will cut off. Asher Yasena. Who does these evil acts? Over there in the Pasukim before it says, Baal Bat Nechar. Someone who sleeps with a woman. It talks about all the sins of the Kohanim beforehand. If they do this, then what's going to happen to them? Hashem will cut off that individual. Asher yasena er va'oneh me'olei Yaakov. And who will have no child or grandchild within the tents of Yaakov. U'magish mincha lifnei Hashem tzfakot. Or someone who brings a mincha before Hashem. Im Yisrael, so the Gemara dashes. If he's an Yisrael, not a Kohen. Lo yelo er b'chachamim. Will not have someone who is alive, awake, like the chachamim. V'lo oneh b'tal diminim. And not one who responds from the talmidim. Meaning that they will not be in the houses of Torah. V'im kohenu lo yelo ben magish mincha. And if he is a Kohen, he will not have a son who brings a mincha. Pinchas, if he really sinned by sleeping with the women, then this pasuk would apply to him, and his offspring should not be serving in the Mikdash. Yet, we see that his offspring is. The Pinchas clearly didn't sin. El ha'aktiv. But pasuk says, Asher yishkivun ha'nashim. Asher yishkivun is in plural. Yishkivun refers to Chofni and Pinchas. Where it says, no problem. Yishkivan k'tiv. Kri is yishkivun. But the k'tiv, the way it's written, the Torah is written without the vav. So that can be referring to the Yishkivan, that he slept with them, meaning that Chofni, not Pinchas. Vaktiv, when Eli comes to rebuke his children, he says, Albanai, kilo tovash moi. My children, don't do this, because I'm hearing bad rumors about what you are doing. But there he's referring to Banai. Banai being both of his children. Arunachma Yitzhak, Bini, Ktiv. Again, you pronounce it, you read it as Banai, but if you look at the Ktiv, it says Bini. Al Bini, referring to only to Chofni, not to Pinchas. Vaktiv, Ma'avirim. So here is, this is very problematic, because the Pasuk says also that they were Ma'avirim Am Hashem. So what does it mean, Ma'avirim Am Hashem is written in the plural? The way the Gemara answers it, Am Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, Ma'aviram Ktiv. It's written without the Yod, in the singular form, not in the plural, referring to Chofni, not Pinchas. Tosafot right away raises the problem, so does Rashi. Our Navi has it written with the Yud in it. We don't have this. We don't have a Mavirim instead of Mavirim as the Ktiv. We have Mavirim as the Kri and the Ktiv. So Tosafot says, we have cases like this in other places in Shas, where the Gemara quotes something, and our Navi does not have the same incident. If you look here on the Gilyon HaShas, it's probably one of the biggest Gilyon HaShas's, where we keep Eggers in Shas. The Gilyon HaShas here goes through every place in Shas, where the Gemara quotes something, and our Psukim do not match that. That wherever we have in our Torah or our Navi'im doesn't match what the Gemara claims is there. Rashi right away says it's a Ta'ut Gadol, says this cannot be the Girsa, he thinks this doesn't belong in the Gemara at all, because he says that it's not even a question. So it's not a question, because the word is Mavirim, and not Avru. We know that the problem here is that Chofni and Pinchas are sinning. Mavirim et Am Hashem would make it sound like they were causing the Am Hashem to sin. And that's not the problem of Chofni and Pinchas. The problem of Chofni and Pinchas is that they were sinning. So Rashi reinterprets the word Mavirim not to mean that they were causing to sin, but rather Mavirim from Yaviru Kolba Machaneh. Yaviru Kolba Machaneh means that the voice was heard throughout the Machaneh. There was a message being sent out. So that's what it means. Mavirim Am Hashem is they're causing the Am Hashem to speak about them. The rumors. And that's what the word Mavirim means here, and therefore it won't be a question at all on Chofni and Pinchas. And that's the way Rashi answers the problem. The Mavirim is that they caused the rumors to be spread. Because he says the word Mavir, it does not mean to sin here, but rather means rumors to be spread. Tosafot leaves it the way it is and just says that we have this in other places, that there's a steer to what the Gemara thinks is in the Navi and what we have. Vakti Beit Nial says about the Bnei Eli that they were called Bnei Bli'al. These are people who have no conscience, who have act without restraint. And it's talking about both of them. So when it says, Metok she'elo l'Pinchas l'mchot l'chofni, Pinchas should have rebuked Chofni v'lo micha, and he didn't rebuke him, alei alav ha'katuv kilu chata. It's as if he sinned. Now that's according to Rav. Yochanan before said that he didn't sin at all, and he's not held accountable at all, and that's why Pinchas is considered to be a person who was not to'eh. So there, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says, and Pinchas did not sin before, and when Pinchas didn't sin, then he's makish chofni to that, and said he also didn't sin. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Yonatan, the next one is, Kol Amar B'nei Shmuel Chatuenu El Toeh. Anyway, says that the children of Shmuel sinned is mistaken, Shneamar. says in the pasuk, "Vayehi kasher zaken Shmuel." When Shmuel became old, "V'lo halchu banav bidrachav." They didn't follow his ways. Mar says, "Bidrachavu d'lo halchu." They didn't go in his ways. Michta nami lo chatu, but they didn't sin either. Elamani mikayim. The pasuk says that they did sin. What does the pasuk says? "Vayitohu acharei abatzel." They were drawn after shochad, after bribery. Shelo asu k'maseh aviyem. They didn't do like their father. Shayah Shmuel atzadik mechazer b'chol mekomot Yisrael. Shmuel, when he was a shofet, used to travel around to all of Israel and judge them, adjudicate them in their local areas. V'dano tam b'areyem, and judge them in their own city. Shenemar, halach midei shana b'shana. Each year he would go. Savav, Beitel, v'gilgal, v'mitzpah, shefat et Yisrael. He would go around to do the adjudication, the judgment of cases for Israel. V'im lo asu kein. They didn't do this. El yeshu b'areyem. They stayed in their place. They l'arbot tzchar l'chazneyem l'sofreyem. To bring money or support, basically, parnosa, to chazneyem. Chazneyem are the equivalent of the sheriffs who put out the subpoenas. And so for him are the stenographers or those that write the court documents. Ketanai is actually a machaloket tanayim. Vayitu acharei abatza. Rabbi Omer chelkam shalu b'fihem. They were levim. They were entitled to maaser rishon. And it says, Rabbi Meir says that they used to ask for the maaser rishon even though you're not allowed to do that. The person who has the maaser rishon or has the truma has the right to give it to whomever he likes. The problem was that they were the gdolei ador and they asked for it. Once they asked for it, nobody's going to turn them down. And therefore they were cheating everybody else out of maaser rishon because nobody else got it because they asked for it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, malai hitilu abalei batim. They used to give their monies, their possessions to their balei batim and tell them, you go do business for us. There used to be partnerships in the business. And as Rashi says, then when those balei batim came before them to a judgment, they were more lenient on them because they relied on them for their parnasa. So they were. Rabbi Kiva Omer, kupa yitera shel maser netlu bizroa. They took extra maser by force because of their position of power. Yosi Omer, matnot netlu bizroa. They took the matnot bizroa. Rashi brings two interpretations to that. One is that they took the matnot kuna of zroa lechaim and keba that belonged to the Kohanim, even though they were levim, they took it by force. Or, lishna achrina is matnot levia. Like the maser they took by force, meaning again, they didn't wait for it to be given to them, they took it on their own. So yes, they were levim, yes, they're entitled to maaser rishon, but they're not entitled to determine who gives them the maaser rishon. They have to be given it willingly by the balim, they took it against their will. So you have here a mixture of tanaim, some who say that they sinned, others that say that they didn't act necessarily appropriately, but they didn't necessarily sin in butzah, in bribery. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the others tomorrow.